The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by the Masters Law Firm and Parmar Stores. I'm Anthony Lewis in the studio with Avon Coburn, the GOAT, Derek Bailey, and Michael Sussman. First of all, gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. It is football season again. Welcome back, guys.
Beautiful times, beautiful time. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about football season. I haven't been this excited in a while, and it's really not too much to be excited for. But
I was going to question that.
I was worried.
It's just the cracking of the paths, the smell of the grass, even though everything is on turf now. But the smell of the grass, you know it's that season.
Yeah, man, I'm ready for the 75-degree weather, too. I don't know about that. I'm tired of this 95 stuff. Let's get it out of here. Let's move it on.
I like it hot.
Right there with you. Football season just hits a little differently.
Well, here's something I didn't think I'd be saying on the radio. We are entering year 5 of the Neil Brown era. Welcome back, Neil Brown.
It only feels like an eternity.
Oh, man.
Well, here's my thing. Here's my thing. I'm going to say this. I'm not shocked he made it to year 5. I'm shocked he made it to year 5 with his guys. I thought there would be more shakeup on that staff.
I knew it was going to be shakeup. I mean, there was things that had to be done, and they allowed him. I mean, he's got them. He's got them. He's got the university. They can't do anything with him. So they're like, if you're going to sink, we're gonna sink. But you would think he would just make a move, just being the leader of an organization, of a sinking ship. Like, look, it's his fault. You know what I mean? He did it. But that didn't happen.
Yeah, somebody could be the scapegoat for him. But I think it would be hard to make a move because...
What?
No. Hard to make a move.
On Neil.
Financially.
On Neil financially, but also like bringing in someone new because you're there for maybe 1 year. Nobody's going to take that risky position to give up their position that's current, that's stable, because you might be 1 year.
Yeah.
And looking for another job.
So basically they've came together as like the band on the Titanic. They're just going to play their song until
it goes down.
I actually had somebody tell me I'm not even interested in that because there's no
stability.
I might be gone next year. Mm-hmm. So and when you said that, it just made me think about, man, I had a coach actually tell me I'm really not interested in coming in and being a coordinator mm-hmm. for them because of, you know, everybody knows.
If he doesn't win 8-9 games, I think he's gone. And, I mean, that's a tall task at this point. Hell, he's never won that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, what's led to this, and let's just start here. What are the weaknesses? What do you see as the weaknesses with his staff and his team? Where have the weaknesses been that's led us to this?
I mean, a lot of them are on himself, the head coach. Late game situations, the 4th-and-1 at Pitt stands out.
I disagree with that.
Not knowing when to roll the dice. And the passing game, both sides of the ball, the secondary has not been aggressive enough. It's been too easy to burn the Mountaineers over the middle, and not enough dynamic outside playmakers at receiver.
I'm going to say one thing that stands out to me, and this may not be for everybody, but I think it's a lack of player development. There is talent on that roster. Well, there might not be now. There was talent on that roster when he took this team over. I mean, he had both steals on the defensive line. That right there is valuable. The offensive line this year, we've already spoke about. We haven't spoke about it yet, but it's got 3 preseason Big 12, all Big 12 performers on it. These guys have been on the roster. Why is it not translating to the field? To me, that is on your coaching staff. You have to – the player development has been poor. Bryce Ford Wheaton, he had a solid year last year, but – the receivers, they never can catch. I mean, shouldn't that, the receivers should be able to catch the ball. That's their job. They never catch the ball under Neil Brown. To me, it's a lack of player development, plain and simple.
And one of the, I focus is on coaching. Like I don't think he has the right type of coaches. That's where we failed because we don't have I think a lot of coaching comes mindset, and I don't think these guys have the mindset of winners. And maybe they won a conference championship in a lower level, but you gotta the speed of the game changes, and these coaches have to think different. They have to react different, and it's not the players, because you obviously you want great players, but if you do not have the leadership to steer the boat, because I mean, you're just running this island.
I almost think he's too laid back, like, because your team looks like they're too laid back at times, and they take on the personality of the coach. Absolutely. And it's like they're laid back instead of like fired up, and I think that hurts them.
This team does not possess a tough blue collar lunch pail mentality. They are not tough. Mm-hmm. The Neil Brown teams have not been tough. They've not had what they had under Rich Rod with that hard edge. They don't have what they had under Don Nealon with, you know, that blue collar mentality, the lunch pail mentality. Listen, you can rub on all the coal that you want to walking into the stadium and do all that fun stuff. But listen, that's not, that has to translate to your team's mentality. And that is not what we have right now. And I just don't see these guys, as you said, Avon, I don't see these guys wanting to run through the wall for their head coach.
Right.
Now, I don't know the man personally. It's funny, I've only been around him once in 5 years. Usually I'm around the program a little bit more, but I wouldn't. I just don't see it.
He seems like a great dude. Like,
and that's,
overall,
that's a fact.
And I mean, he seems like a really great guy. I want him to be successful because I really like him, but it's not materializing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just want to see. Even under Coach Nealon, there was a time where, yeah, you probably have more athletes than us, and you beat us by 2 touchdowns today, but you knew you were in a dogfight.
You got beat up.
Physically. The physicality of the team is not there right now.
And we just don't show that. I mean, to go out and get throttled by 38 by Texas Tech, throttled, is not the mark of WVU football, and that has to change. And I'm hoping, you know, I've heard a little bit more tone in his voice in the press conferences, at the end of his rope. Yeah. You know, that nice guy act might be over, and maybe that's a good thing, but we shall see. And we're going to continue this conversation in the next segment, so stick around, and don't forget, you can check out anything you need to find out about the Touchdown City Show at touchdowncity.com. We'll be back after this.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football. And remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, Avon Coburn. Gentlemen, of course, it's good to be back on the air. For our listeners, if you are wanting to hear more content, swing over to our podcast. We've got a podcast version of the show and also some midweek drops. Later in the show, we're going to hear from former Mountaineer team captain Mike Collins. We're going to talk a little bit about the celebration of the 30th anniversary of the 1993 undefeated team. So make sure you stick around for that. So, gentlemen, let's get into this. I want to talk to you guys about quarterbacks. At this point, nobody's been named the starter. Having two quarterbacks to choose from is a good thing to have. What does Nico or what does Garrett bring to the table for you?
I feel like I don't know the identity. I haven't talked to my mole yet. But what I'm thinking is this season should be 2002, 2005. When is it, Pat? 2008, 2009, where it was. We're running right, we're running left. I don't know if it's going to be Quincy, Avon, or Rasheed, or is it going to be Pat, Steve, or the beer truck? So to me, the identity, he should have named Garrett Green as a starter. Because our offensive line is the strength of our team. To me, what are we doing?
I'm torn on both of them because Green is a much better runner. We'll see if he's improved his passing. If he's improved his passing, then I'm all in on Green. If he has improved as a passer, I absolutely, because you can't replace his legs. They're much better than Marikial's. But is Marikial a better passer, a better leader? And who does the team respond to better? Who do they follow? Like, which one has command of the offense, command of the team, and which one makes the best decisions, because you don't want to go out there and turn the ball over a ton. I also think that this offense should be able to try to control the clock with being able to run the football. Like you're saying, three guys can run it if you have Green in there. I don't know what Marikio's like mobility-wise. I don't think he's very mobile. But
he's not a statue. He
can run a little bit, but Green's much better runner. So I'm interested to see, because it's such a different dynamic that both of them bring. So I'm all for Green, though, if he's improved as a passer, but we'll see if Marikial can somehow upstage him in practice.
I saw the quarterback coach did a presser, and he said that they're both running the same stuff in the preseason leading up to the year. I think Marikial can move not on the same level as Green, obviously. I think it all stakes on his improvement as a passer. I'm ready to turn the keys over to Nico Marikial just because of his potential as a winner at the high school level, beating the best programs in the country. And I think it's something that this program needs, a future, not something that it's already run back and been average with.
And see, here's the issue with that, though, because you're with a coach that's on the hot seat, a coach that might be lame duck. He's got to win now, so he may have to go with Green. That's the question there.
Is that winning now or not losing now?
I mean, if you're winning, who cares? It's winning. Like,
he's got to win. I mean, he's got to win games. There's no sugarcoating it. He has to win games, so he may have to roll with Green. But if Marikial gives him the better chance to win, he's going to go with him because he knows he has to win now.
Well, he's going to go with the guy he trusts. And you've coached, and you know that if you can't, you may have a guy, and you've been in that position where there's a guy that may be in that running back room with you that maybe had a little bit more talent than you, but the coaches didn't trust him.
Nope.
So they were going to give him the ball, and you, as a coach, you've ran into it. He's going to go with the guy that he trusts the most. And that's going to come down to who's throwing, making the right reads in practice, who's not throwing the ball in the wrong situations, who's tucking it and running it, who's not throwing it into double coverage and getting it thrown up, picked off. It's going to come down to who he trusts. Coaches go with who they trust, even if the other guy has more talent.
That's the other thing. Like, the fans don't see practice. We say it every year. The most popular player on campus is the backup quarterback. Yep.
I truly believe that, like you said, there was situations that I was in the room and we had a guy that was just way more talent, but he just was a screw-up. Like, my kids got to eat. I got to make sure I might not get 20 yards on this play, but I might get a first down, which is going to keep my kids.
But you
fit.
Were an all conference guy. You still had a lot as far as playmaking goes. I think it's a little different situation.
Well, what I'm saying is, it is like he said, you got to go with the guy that you're going to trust that's going to do what they're supposed to do. And again, if there's a guy that, like Marigo, he might be the guy that, boom, can throw the ball deep, but the next play he's going to throw an interception. You're like, no, I can't eat like that way.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is who they trust the most. I mean, now there's no doubt about that, but I don't know which one is the answer, because obviously we haven't seen practice. We don't know what's going on.
I'm going to tell you what the answer is. The answer is whoever that offensive line, however you guys are running that offense. And if it's a offense that we had in the past, you got to go with the guy that can run the ball better because it's misdirection.
But see, I think he will run no matter what. I think coaches run their stuff. I don't think he's going to run like a Rodriguez type system, what you're referring to. He runs his stuff. So it's going to be whichever quarterback Anthony keeps saying he trusts the most and makes the best decisions. Again, last year we saw Green come in. He performed. He wasn't like out of this world. Right. So you don't know what kind of leap Mariki Yall's made either. We don't see practice. It'll be interesting. I put the guy in there that gives me the best chance to win, obviously, but that the team responds to, makes the best decision, makes the right reads, and can, you know, get the offense going. The team will follow.
Well, the good news is we've seen a little sample size of each of these guys. You know, we've seen them in action towards the end of the year. I love this new rule where you can play up to four games and not burn your red shirt.
Didn't they both play against Oklahoma State?
They both have played. And we've seen what they – and they have a little bit of a different game. But I like the fact that we've seen a little bit of each. And I think, again, it's going to come down to who they trust and also what – offensively they're going to do. Now if he's running his same stale boring offense that he runs,
that's what he's going to do. That's his offense.
He needs to stick Nico out there because he likes to throw the ball over the place.
Right.
But if he's going to try to do something different and run some RPOs and run some, you know, some zone blocking up front, he needs to go with Garrett Green. It's going to come down to that. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, later in the show we're going to hear from Mike Collins, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Avon's favorite position. We're going to talk about the running backs. We'll do that after this.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salango. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salango Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salangolaw.com.
Tired of manually updating your online payment information every time your card is lost, stolen, or expired? Let CardSwap from Summit Community Bank take care of it for you. CardSwap lets you update your payment information for multiple merchants and subscriptions all in one place. Simply add your Summit debit or credit card to CardSwap and we'll update your payment information automatically. Convenience when you need it most. That's service beyond expectations. Sign up for CardSwap today through Summit Community Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the studio, the Stone Church studio. And don't forget, later in the show, we'll be doing the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. Make sure you stick around for that. You can win a $25 gift card from Alumni Hall. All right, guys, let's talk running backs. Three solid running backs behind I would grade this offensive line. Let's start there. I would grade them. Do we all agree that this is an A-level offensive line?
This is the best offensive line Neil Brown's had. If they're not any good, it's strictly on the coaches.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm going to put that out there. It's strictly on the coaches.
So we agree with that. Now you've got three or four running backs. Probably the best running back room West Virginia has had in...
Probably since Smallwood and...
long time.
Smallwood was with those... I can't remember who was behind Smallwood. Smallwood, Shell, and somebody else.
Shell. Anyway,
I believe that was the guys.
So Avon, what are your impressions of CJ Donaldson?
I mean, he's a beast. So I sent you guys a picture of me. I cannot. This dude is a defensive lineman. I swear to you, I saw this dude. I'm like, man, you are a giant. Because I mean, he looks big, but you don't see how big he is until you stand next to him. I would not want to hit this dude. I mean, and he has long speed. I mean, so I think if he's used the right way, and I mean he's a great receiver too. So to me, I think he has the tools to be a contender, you know, for everything that is happening this year.
The thing with me is everybody's worried about the defense, and that's a legit concern. This offensive line and these running backs are good enough to go out there, get behind them, grind the game down, control the clock, score touchdowns, keep the game close going to the fourth quarter, give yourself a chance. Obviously, Donaldson's going to be fantastic. I mean, hopefully he's healthy and back to normal. business decisions in the secondary for these corners trying to chase him down, sure, as he even alluded to earlier. But they, you know, the running back should be very good along with that offensive line.
What do you think the workload is for C.J. Donaldson as far as carries per game? I think he needs at least 20.
I think 20.
Oh, I mean, if he gets less than 20, we're going to lose every game.
We're riding.
Yeah, imagine. Well,
oh, he's the horse, for
imagine,
sure.
We're January 6th, and we're going up there. We're climbing the walls at Mountain View.
Imagine that offensive line leaning on your defensive line all game, and then that load coming behind that offensive line just all game long, just all day long.
You know where he's really dangerous is he's a big guy, right? So last year, he hadn't even been through a real spring in strength and conditioning. They've now taught this kid how to get low, use his pads and his leverage. Imagine now that type of damage that he can do to you when they're teaching him running back technique versus him just going out there and freelancing.
He's a specimen, man. He's a specimen. And again, you get around and you watch and you see and you learn from the guys that did it before you and the guys that are doing it right now. If he maintains, he's gonna be fantastic.
I still want to see a wheel route. We saw it, but I want to see it. I want to see it when he can get downfield and get vertical. I want to see a wheel route.
Well, he's perfect for it because he's a big target,
right?
And another thing that's impressive about this room is he hammers you, and then they bring Jalen Anderson or Justin Johnson out,
and they're quick scat backs
with the speed.
Jalen Anderson is a beast too. Like
I should call him a scat back. He's pretty big.
He's gonna pound you. You know, Johnson is the one that he's got that quick twitch that I love. But at the same time, I love our entire group that we have because even Jalen Anderson is still, you know, freaking. I mean, I'm sorry, Justin Johnson, even he's 5'11", 200 pounds. So you're not getting that 185 guy. You're getting a load every time.
This should be a physical football team.
If it's not, we're rioting. We're January 6th.
We're going to go up and climb the walls and tear some things down. And not to mention that, I believe that the kid, I think he's from New Jersey, the Jalen White kid. I think he's from Jersey. They say he's got speed, like real speed.
Wow.
So you've got four guys in a room, and obviously the freshman's going to get the least amount. They're probably going to let him return kicks or something. But you've got three guys that you can trust who have proven that they can get the balls, but you've got to just pound them with Donaldson and then let the other guys.
That has to be the game plan. I'm going to make you not want to tackle this guy. Here's another guy that can get you, but we're going to give it back to this guy.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Michael Collins about the 93 undefeated regular season.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have three locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barboursville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio, and thank you for listening to the show this week, wherever you are in the great state of West Virginia. And as promised, we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 1993 undefeated regular season team. And it, no better way to kick it off than with the defensive captain of the team, Mr. Mike Collins. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to kind of take a trip down memory lane with us and talk about this amazing season in Mountaineer history. But first, I have to ask you, does it feel like it's been 30 years to you?
It's funny you say that. I was having this conversation with someone a couple of days ago, and no, it does not. It's even weird to say that it's been 30 years. How quickly the time has gone. So no, it does not. And the short answer, no. Long answer, I can keep expanding upon how I can't believe the time's gone so fast, and we got to take advantage of the time and spend time with your loved ones, all that stuff. But yeah, no, 30 years has gone by really quickly.
Yeah. So, and we were talking a little off the air before, you're going to try to put together a reunion for your teammates and open it up to the public. You were saying you don't have all the full details, but we want to at least put the Mountaineer fans on alert. Tell us a little bit about what you got planned, and then we will try to make sure they know where they can continue to get information to come out and see all the legendary players from that team.
Yes, thank you, Anthony. I am trying to coordinate a 30-year anniversary of our team, and I've got it about 90%. You know, kind of set. I just want to confirm the venue, but we're going to do it the weekend of the Pitt game. That is a night game. So where we do it at, we're going to start at either around 3-4 o'clock. It's a reunion of that 93 team, but it's open to all former players. And then also the general public would love for them to come over, maybe take a picture, chat up former players, and even get an autograph of some guys. And so I'm looking forward to it. And once I get the final particulars, I promise, Anthony, I'll get that information to you. But we want to try to do it at a venue where, you know, maybe there's some beverages and food, and then maybe even be able to watch the game afterwards. So mm-hmm. I'll keep it, and would love for people to show up and say hello.
One of the things that really stood out to me as I started to research this team was the defense. I mean, obviously, in today's era of football, people put up 35, 45, 55 points. So even not that the offense didn't have the capabilities or have talent, it was just a different era. But this defense was super stingy with not allowing a lot of teams to even really even be in the game, or holding really tough teams to, you know, a low amount of points so the offense could make that move and win the game late in some close ones. There were a couple of 17, 14 teams. Talk about that defense. And honestly, in my opinion, probably one of the most underrated defenses in WVU history, because people tend to talk about the 96 team and never really mention this defense. And when you go back and look at it, they probably deserve to be talked about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely underrated. I mean, and the defense led that team. It really did. I mean, we put up points that year, and we could put them up in punches. But the other thing with that team offensively, we would turn the ball over, particularly early in the season. And, you know, that's why there was some changes at running back. Unfortunately, you know, first game of the season, John Jones goes down, and then it changed the whole dynamic of the offense. And so we go, you know, trying to find some guys, and end up Robert kind of, you know, got the gig because he quit putting the ball on the ground. And so defensively, you know, we had to react early in the season, particularly against Maryland and Virginia Tech, with a lot of turnovers. But, you know, kept us in the game. But it was confidence, belief. But I mean, we have guys who could play, man. I mean, you know, rest in peace to Scotty Gaskins, but, you know, he had been there for 5 years with me, you know, then Barry Hawkins up front, And then, I mean, heck, you had a John Browning coming in off the bench, you know, because we had Taurus and Derek Wiley at the end positions. And then our linebackers were really good. I mean, with the Phoney and Wes and Tim Brown and Puppy Wright. I mean, we had some guys who could play. And then the secondary, we were all returning starters. I mean, Aaron Beasley came in and started late in the season in 92. So he had, you know, he had some starter experience. And then Tommy and I, Tommy came in as a true freshman in 90 and played. And so this was his fourth year, my fifth year. Mayfield, it was his second year as a full-time starter, but his third year playing a lot of football. So, you know, and then that back end, and then that was my fifth year and, you know, four-year starter. So, you know, I kind of led the team in that respect. And so when you have a lot of confidence back in the back end, it allows you to do some other things up front defensively and get creative. And Coach Dunlap, he, you know, as a defense coordinator, I think he saw that within the team that, you know, we're knowledgeable, solid, you know, we had some good, very good talent. Some guys who could play. And so, and then with that, you know, stability in the back end, we could do some different things, defensively. And so, and yeah, it wasn't the era of the air raid, but I mean, Maryland was playing run and shoot. Mm-hmm. And with the exception of us, you know, turning the ball over, I mean, we blow the doors off those guys for real. I mean, we shut them down. Louisville was led by Jeff Brom at quarterback, who they had a really good offensive football team. And if you really want to see how good we were defensively, put on that Louisville game and the first series that we come out on defense. And, I mean, it was unbelievable. We just set the tone for the game but they were a good offensive team and I think got up on us a couple touchdowns, but end up coming out, pulling that out late, getting some turnovers and really in the fourth quarter, just shut them down, And then even Virginia Tech, I think we had four turnovers that game. And you know, they missed a field goal late, but they missed the field goal late because they weren't able to drive deep enough to get a better look at that field goal. Mm-hmm. And then you go like to Boston College, like I mentioned before about Pete Mitchell and their offensive game plan. The week before they played us, they put up 40 plus points on Notre Dame.
Right.
And who was number one in the country at the time. And we forced a lot of turnovers in the red zone and we held them 14 points. So, you know, I don't think folks give us enough credit. And you're right, Anthony. That's one of my pet peeves in West Virginia football history is that defense in 93 doesn't get as much credit as they deserve.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to shine the light where it needs to be shined. Because, yeah, I mean, just as I started looking at it and researching, getting ready for the season and knowing that I was going to do this look back, I was like, man, this defense is stingy. So right.
One more thing. Let me add this.
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't give up a rushing touchdown until the Pitt game, which was, I think, the fifth game of the season.
Would that have been Curtis Martin?
Yeah. Well, he's got his all-time collegiate highlight is against me, getting my feet stuck in the ground and making me miss. But yeah, I mean, you know, but we were stingy against the run, and you know that kind of sets the tone. You know, defensively, if you can stop the run, that it forces teams to throw the ball. And as I said before, we were good in the back end.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one of the most famous plays in WVU history, especially in recent history, is Dalvin Cook in the pile. As Clemson's getting ready to go into the end zone, he strips the ball and goes the other direction about 98 yards. But somebody else did the same thing years and years before. And obviously it was you against, I believe, Missouri. Coming off the top of my head. And that's one of the plays, of course, it's in the highlight film, and it's one of the plays that really stands out through the course of the season. Because you didn't see a lot of that, I think.
Right.
Especially, you know, that's just a crazy play. When, you know, Missouri at the time, I think they were in the Big 8, which wasn't even the Big 12. You know, they're getting ready to go in and score, then boom, you turn it, you just strip it and go the other way. What do you remember about that, and how did that opportunity present itself?
Right. And ironically, Dalvin and I both were number 25.
There we go.
What I remember that play, they were driving on us. I don't know if it was late first half or in the second half, early second half, but I want to say it was early second half. But anyway, they're driving the ball inside of obviously our 10-yard line in the pile. I'm this second guy coming in, and I noticed the ball out. So I went to hit him to kind of jolt him, knowing that I could get into his arms. And I got into his arms, got into his chest, and took the ball and took off running. And nobody blew the whistle, so I just kept running. And so, that was a play. That's just coaching. I mean, you know, as much as anything, hey, Mike, look at the film. Look at this guy. Look how he carries the ball. This is an opportunity to create a turnover. Mm-hmm. And then the reinforcement of that, that's what that was. So, you know, we're talking about the difference between the 92 and 93 team. You know, luck, you create your luck sometimes, you know, and particularly good teams. And that was, it was a lucky play, maybe, but I created that luck as well. So, it's fun.
Be sure to stick around and listen for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. For all of your Mountaineers gear, visit alumnihall.com.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master Tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind: to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling with the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never? Like never ever?
Yep, never ever.
That's actually fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at Huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
Give it to me.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the studio, the Stone Church studio, with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and Avon Coburn. It's now time for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. Text your answer to 304-9696-TDC or 304-969-6832. Again, 304-969-6832. The question: in 1993, what bowl game did West Virginia pass on to play in the Sugar Bowl against Florida? I'll repeat. In 1993, what bowl game did West Virginia pass on to take the Sugar Bowl slot to play against Florida? Text the correct answer, 304-969-6832. You win a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. All right, guys, let's get into some sports headlines. First and foremost, West Virginia, if you look at the schedule, ridiculous schedule. You're opening up on the road again for, I think, the third or fourth time in a row in Happy Valley. You still play Pitt. Is West Virginia overscheduled this year?
I say no, because I'm not sold on Pitt. Now, and you play Duquesne, and Duquesne is very, very, you know, Duquesne's a game you should win. They're kind of like I don't even remember who it was last year. Somebody West Virginia destroyed.
Townsend.
Thank you. I say they're not overscheduled, in my opinion, because the Big 12 did WVU a huge favor, and they let them play all four newcomers, which were non-Group of Five teams last year, or Group of Five teams last year, not Power Five competition. So I don't think they're overscheduled.
I don't either, just because of the risk-reward. If you do find a way to upset Penn State, that buys your team a ton of time and a lot of leeway. You're probably flirting on the edge of the top 25 much earlier if you can rattle off one or two more. So it's a risk for sure. But I think overall it'll help you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just feel like the tougher you start, it shows you who you have, who you are. And, you know, for what our fan base is looking for, it's going to show us exactly, you know, how long this guy has.
I think it's overscheduled. There's only one other team in the country that's playing two Power Five teams with their schedule. And to open up on the road against Penn State and then have to come back 2 weeks later and play Pitt and then your regular Big 12. Listen, no other team is doing that. No other team in the country. Alabama doesn't do it. Florida doesn't do it. Texas doesn't do it. I just think they're overscheduled. You would have preferred to play Eastern Michigan, then play Duquesne, and then play Pitt. And hopefully they're going to be able to change the schedule out for West Virginia to where they're not, you know, because here in the future, I think they play like Penn State and
it's
in Alabama in the same season.
Right.
That's just too much, plus your conference schedule.
Those games won't be played. Not with the way the expansion's going. Those guys won't be played.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens, but they're currently scheduled.
Right.
And you're looking at a year right now, you play Pitt and Penn State. While it's a lot of fun for the fans to have Pitt and Penn State on the schedule, they didn't do Neil Brown any favors.
But were they miss Oklahoma and Texas? That's why I don't think it's an overschedule.
No, they play Oklahoma.
They miss Texas, though. That's why I don't think it's an overschedule. And they play the four newcomers. I mean, those four newcomers, you got to win those games.
Well, hell, I mean, they took Kansas off the schedule. They did them a big favor. Because I think
we need Texas Tech off the schedule.
Yeah, that's who we needed off the schedule.
That second half last year, I've never seen that stadium more empty. And I was there for a 7-on-7. One time.
That is hilarious. Oh, my goodness. You are crazy.
Speaking of the new look Big 12, what do you think of the addition of Central Florida, Houston, and also who else we got? Central Florida, Cincinnati, and
BYU.
Oh, I keep forgetting about them. What do you think about the new look Big 12?
To me, those teams, they don't really do a whole lot for me. Central Florida is kind of still just getting their program going now. They could be a sleeping giant because they have a huge fan base, a ton of money, and can put a ton of money in their program.
And a recruiting base.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they don't really do much for me, like in the whole grand scheme of the expansion. Cincinnati's coming off. They lost Fickell. You know, they have a new coach that's coming over from Louisville that Louisville didn't even want. They don't really move the needle. None of the four move the needle for me.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. So, I mean, and for me, I'm a, you know, being a player, the travel was just ridiculous. I mean, I like the travel when we picked up Cincinnati and Central Florida. It keeps us east, but at the same time, it's like now we got to go to BYU and Utah. That's just, I mean, the travel is I don't like it. I don't like the Big 12, to be honest with you, because I don't like the travel schedule.
Central Florida does move the needle for me because of Gus Malzahn. That's a gigantic school in somewhere I'd imagine recruits want to go. You return a quarterback, and they signed a lot of transfers in the offseason. I think Central Florida is going to surprise some people.
You did have them high.
I do like the new look Big 12. I like the East Coast additions. Houston probably should have been in that league a long time ago. I don't know what their issue with Houston has been.
Well, if you look at Houston, though, and that's the one I'm looking at. They consistently play Big 12 teams, and they consistently lose. They never beat them. Last year, they played two. Kansas smoked them. Kansas smoked them in Houston last year.
Well, it's a level of recruiting. That's all that boils down to.
But,
I mean,
you're in Houston.
But you think Houston would be really good? Would think Houston.
Do you want to go to Houston or Baylor?
I mean, you want to go to Houston or Kansas? If you're a
three
or four star
guy,
yeah. Do you want to go to Houston or Kansas?
I want to. If you are a three or four star guy, you don't want to play in the AAC.
But the thing is Houston has some success in the, like, they have a Heisman winner. Andre Ware won the Heisman. David Klingler had put up huge numbers.
Well, that's my point. I don't understand why they haven't been in a bigger league the entire time.
But why when they go against the bigger teams do they consistently lose? Now, they had the 1 year with, I can't remember, Tom Herman, I believe was his name. They had that year that was fantastic, and they went undefeated. Great season for them. But that's it. Like, you have to beat this. Like, look at TCU, Boise State, and teams like that. They beat those teams consistently when they play them. Like, Boise has a win over Oklahoma. They have a couple wins, great wins. TCU was beating those teams before they joined the Big 12. Houston hasn't done that.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you know, when you're the middle of the pack in the AAC, I mean, the location, that's the last place you're going to go if you're from the state of Texas. You're probably going to Oklahoma State.
The other reason I don't like it is the money split. Now there's more ways to split the money. And that's gonna hurt. I mean, especially if those teams aren't bringing in the money. I mean, again, Central Florida has it, but I mean, they're not. That's a money split that is gonna hurt.
But when you sit down on Saturday to watch the game, you're gonna say, okay, I can watch the Big 12 game of Cincinnati and Houston, or I can watch the SEC game of Auburn and Mississippi. I mean, most people are going to watch Auburn and Mississippi. It's the Houston. They don't do anything for me, but they might for everybody else. I don't know. Just the move for me doesn't matter. Now the other expansion teams, that matters.
Speaking of Texas and football players, did you guys see the Johnny Manziel documentary that's on Netflix? We have two no's and two yeses.
I didn't see it.
Heard about it though.
I heard about it.
So basically, and we're down to the end of the show, so I'll be quick. Basically, he was getting paid to sign autographs. So my issue with this whole documentary, while he was a hell of a football player,
absolutely.
My question is, should we either need to take his Heisman or give Reggie Bush his Heisman back at this point? This guy has openly admitted to cheating the NCAA and basically George Jefferson out of the room laughing about it. what are we doing here?
What are the rules? Give Reggie Bush his freaking Heisman back for the love of the Lord. I mean, he didn't do anything that none of these other – you can argue –
in my lifetime, he was probably the best Heisman Trophy winner that I've ever seen.
You can take – if you want to take Reggie Bush's, that's fine. But go take Cam Newton's. Go take Johnny Manziel's. You can take all these dudes. I mean, you can take just about every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. I don't know how signing an agent too early is in any way worse than illegally signing a massive number of autographs.
Yeah. They weren't even, like, trying to hide it either. I mean, they blatantly lied.
And they said his family had, like, oil money to try to cover for all the places that Manziel was being spotted.
It was wild, man. But that just shows you, you know, the players, when they're not in a position to where they're getting and they're seeing everybody else counting cash around them, they're going to go find their way to get the money. And that's exactly what they did. When you see the documentary, you too will be blown away by the lengths that they went to hide money and get money.
How many Texas A&M number 2 jerseys were sold nationwide? Because that dude was unbelievable in college and everybody loved him.
Well, and that's what they brought up was, you know, they sold millions of dollars of Adidas number 2 jerseys, but he was broke. And, you know, and so eventually when somebody offered him money and he saw all these jerseys, he was like, yeah, I'm taking the money.
The poor Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, they got duped. Wait till you guys see it. You guys will be blown away. You guys will be blown away. Well, we're down to the end of the show. First of all, it's good to see you guys again. I know we've seen each other off and on. We got together a little bit as we won the West Virginia Broadcasters Association Award this year. We celebrated that night. But it's good to see you guys. We'll have a 15-week relationship at this point. We'll be getting together every Sunday.
Let's get married.
Basically, it's a marriage. Absolutely. But it's good to see you guys. It's good to be back here on the Touchdown City Show and broadcasting across the great state of West Virginia. And be sure to check out the podcast platforms for some additional content. I'll see you guys next week.
Text the guys questions or comments at 304-9696-TDC. That's 304-9696-TDC.